Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matter. I am continuing my discussions with Carol Asher about her book, A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, Russian Jewish Immigrants in Sharon and Armenia, 1907 to 1940. And I surely encourage you to visit the website, A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, .com, to gather more information.
Let me just say that there are some beautiful photographs from the book on that website. So.
There you go. So another reason to visit the website. Carol, we spoke about the families moving to Ellsworth. We spoke about the children of the families continuing their education and how some of the families moved to Armenia and became hoteliers and very successful, and the Osofsky women were teachers in schools that initially did not welcome them. And, you know, we spoke about Baron Morris de Hirsch, but I know that there is a lot more that the Baron did, and you speak about that in the book. Could you elaborate a little bit more about farming and the opportunities that the Jewish Agricultural and Industrial Aid Society, formed in 1900s, was able to offer to immigrants?
So thank you, Serge. You know, as we talked about, Jews had not been allowed to farm in the Pale or own land. So farming was a completely new enterprise for them. But because of Baron de Hirsch and the loans that he gave out and the assistance that he had.
I just want to reiterate, because he really believed.
He really believed that
a person's identity, if a person had a piece of land that he or she could call his or her, that person can have a stronger sense of self.
And also that since there was so much anti-Semitism in Russia, he connected it to not owning land, and he thought that if Jews were productive farmers, that would end anti-Semitism.
Right.
And so I want to just say that the story that I wrote about Sharon was repeated in a half a dozen communities in Connecticut, in Massachusetts, in New York, that the Catskills, that everybody knows as the Jewish Catskills, started out as a Jewish farm community, just like the Sharon farm community, that the story was repeated thousands of times all over America and in Canada as a result of the generosity of and his foresight of Baron Maurice de Hirsch. And
I mean, you say in your book that, you know, in 1914, he gave 1.7 million loans to over 2,600 farmers, and then, you know, over 500 farmers in central Connecticut.
So those loans were given annually, and they continued through the 40s, so that when Jews came to America escaping the Holocaust, those loans were still continued, and a number of those Jews became chicken farmers in New Jersey, and so on. So it was a continuation over decades that actually changed the ethnicity of farming in America.
On the East Coast, at least.
No.
Really?
Yes, all over America. I recently met a woman who was from Saskatchewan, whose parents had...
Which is where?
In Canada.
Uh-huh.
In Western Canada.
Right.
And her parents and grandparents had had a farm thanks to Maurice de Hirsch. So and actually there's a synagogue in Seattle called the Baron Maurice de Hirsch Synagogue, because there were so many farmers in the Seattle area that had gotten money from Maurice de Hirsch. So it was really across America. It's just a hidden history. It's a history that people haven't known, how so many people who had not been able to farm who had not been able to own land in Russia became farmers in America.
Could you, you know, I know that in the other segments and even now we haven't spoken anything about the synagogue in Armenia.
So
1929 is when it was erected.
So as we talked about, the first Jews came to Armenia. The Yosofskis were the first family to move there when their daughter Freda needed to go to high school. But by the mid-20s...
Because the schools in Sharon did not want them, and the one that was in Ellsworth only went to eighth grade. We need to specify that.
That's right. So by the mid-20s, almost all the families had either moved off the mountain to Armenia or moved off the mountain elsewhere. For example, the Temkins, who were also a farm family up on Ellsworth, had moved over east to Goshen and on to Torrington. So there were not everybody moved to Armenia, but the preponderance of the farm families on Ellsworth moved off the mountain, as they spoke of it, to Armenia.
And if you're just joining us, the reasons they moved, if you haven't listened to heard our other segments, Ellsworth Hills were very harsh and very difficult for both dairy farm and farming. Hence, for a better life, the second generation and higher education.
Well, actually, the first generation themselves that moved
that
down.
Moved, that's right. That's right.
They
yeah,
moved,
thank you for
they
the
had
correction.
Been, they had been right. trying to supplement their farming by renting boarding houses and vacation
right.
homes, and when they realized that Armenia was on the train line, it would be easier to run a boarding house or a hotel for other Jews in Armenia, and it had this lake which we've talked about.
Exactly. so we're in 1929, and more Jewish families are in Armenia, and their boarders and hoteliers,
and they're being very successful.
Right.
There are about a dozen Jewish hotels and boarding houses in Armenia.
Right.
And the community is successful enough for the first time to actually build its own synagogue. Prior to that, they had Shabbat services at the Grand House Hotel, Osofsky's Hotel.
Right.
But now they begin to build their synagogue. And there's a wonderful plaque that we found in the synagogue, which is in Yiddish and lists all the names of the people who contributed to the synagogue.
Oh, where is it? It's
in the synagogue, and it's also, I have a picture of it in the book. So the plaque lists the Paleys and the Osofskis and the Arnoffs and the Rothsteins.
There it is. Go ahead, yeah.
So
do you know how long it took?
This is the plaque right there, and there's my translation into English.
Yes.
So they did it within a year or so. Sam Gorkovsky remembered being a four-year-old and standing with his father as they laid the cornerstone of the synagogue. And I have to say that, you know,
that must have been a very powerful and emotional moment.
It's a powerful and emotional moment.
Everybody.
And the synagogue holds 60-some seats, and it still holds only 60-some seats.
That's right. It's very warm.
It's a warm and small and cozy place. It's not a grand place, but it's a very warm and cozy place. And in fact,
if you're listening, Daniel Postel, I attended Daniel Postel's bar mitzvah there.
Oh, well, very. And when was that?
Oh, I would say this is now. He just finished college, so this must have been 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. So you know exactly how cozy a place
is. Oh, God,
it
it's wonderful. I've attended several events there.
Yeah. And actually, it's recently been upgraded by the fact that the exhibit, which turned into the book, is now in the community room. And thanks
Which is right behind a synagogue.
Yes, that's right.
And that's where I found out about your efforts and the history. And
it's a wonderful thing, which is that now you can actually see the history of the synagogue in the community room of the synagogue.
And I have told several people about the exhibit that's there. One of the things that I want to bring back to both your history and my history, and why I felt so warm about this book because of my own family's history. And also, here we are in 2018, and the issue of immigrants and the possibility of this fallacy of immigrants being burdens onto society, and how your own research and history of Jewish history, you realize, God, you know, 90% of the time, if not 99% of the time, immigrants come here and they have this innate desire to really succeed and provide.
The Russian Jewish immigrants were so energized by being in America where even if there was prejudice, they knew they wouldn't be killed. That was the wonderful, wonderful thing about being in America. And they all succeeded. If they didn't succeed as farming, then they turned to something else.
I think, you know, I think that story is also true for some of the Hondurans or El Salvadorans.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, for me, you know, as an Armenian from Iran who left Iran, because I would have been dead if I were still in Iran because of the military and the war that was going on with Iraq.
Well, I think that's what most Salvadorians feel, most Hondurans feel, many Guatemalans feel. It's America has been an enormous opportunity for them, and the idea that criminals are pouring across the border is so completely unconnected to what the truth is, which is the energy of these people that they have to create a better life for themselves and their children and to participate in our society.
You know, I have a much more sanguine and positive view of human nature. And I, as an Armenian, I know personally some very unsavory Armenians. But that doesn't mean that Armenians are bad. And I know some unsavory Iranians. I know some unsavory people in every walk of life. But the human nature, just in general, is more positive and wants to survive and provide better. A father and a mother wants to protect and provide better for their children. Carol, I think even though your book has focused on the Jewish history, I think one of the far-reaching impacts of this book is what happens to the immigrant communities. Not the first generation, but the first generation and the second generation and the third generation. You've written a book of three decades and more chronicling from start to later.
So
it's such a gift for this small community of Sharon and Armenia. But the truth of it is got, you know, it's human history.
Yeah, it is. And I think one thing that's really interesting is to see how, so the first generation is really Yiddish speaking and in a sense remains outsiders in a certain way, although they learn to make do. Their children are already teachers, dentists.
They're the bridge.
If you look at the second generation of this group, they were already professionals.
That's right. And
engineers,
they become the bridge
teachers,
between the two cultures.
Accountants. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely English speaking.
Right.
No problem. The third generation is already expanding into the sort of, there was a woman who came to the exhibit when it was on, and she turned out to be from Long Island, and she said, "This is my family." I had no idea that she had been part of this. I didn't know who she was, but she'd heard about the exhibit, and she came back to see it.
Tell us how
later,
you felt
her
at that
daughter,
moment.
Her sister came.
Tell us how you felt at that moment when you heard that.
She was weeping and I was weeping.
I'm sure.
You know,
I'm
it
sure
just,
that must have been such an incredible moment for you.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this earlier, and I guess it's worthwhile ending on this note. For people who have felt not particularly respected, even if they didn't feel endangered, I think that the exhibit and the book has been a kind of gift, which I have been really glad to give, which is to say you have a history. You were We honor this history. We honor your courage, your tenacity. And that's the gift I have hopefully given people with it.
Well, that's certainly the gift that you have offered to me, because reading this book, I vicariously lived my grandfather's history, because that's what happened to him in Iran. And I think every person, whether you've been living in the U.S. for several generations or you came here with the Mayflower, you were an immigrant and you went through this, and we have this connection. You know, as a dear friend of mine used to say, Harry, the characters always stay the same. It's the actors that change.
Well,
you know, in this case, this is the Jewish families. In my case, it's the Armenian families. In other cases, it's the Iranian families. I know Honduran, El Salvadoran, Guatemalan families. You know, century before, it was the Italians. It was the Irish.
Well, I think if we just remember, we've all been immigrants.
Exactly. And that we're all human.
Yes.
We're all first humans, then different. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. This is Serge from Serge Van Restaurant. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Carol Asher, who's authored a book called A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, chronicling the Russian Jewish immigrants in Sharon and Armenia, 1907 to 1940, and I strongly recommend you visiting achanceforlandandfreshair.com for more information about the book and photographs on the website.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amenia, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.